So I just want to say that I'm grateful, honored, and blessed to have one of my rock and roll heroes here with me on my show today, Greg Kinn. Greg is here to talk about his new album, Rekindled, and the tour he's currently on and the upcoming show at the Ava Amphitheater on Sunday, August 19th, and some questions I've always wanted to ask Greg. So here's my chance. So first of all, hi, Greg, and how are you today?
I'm doing great, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, and how'd you feel about Weird Al's take on Jeopardy? Were you okay with that?
Oh, yeah. Not only was I okay with it, I was really flattered. Because, you know, if Weird Al does a parody of you, that means that you're at least, you know, popular enough to be parodied, which is, you know, kind of flattering. Also, I got to say, you know, Weird Al has to get the permission
yeah.
of the people that he's, you know, doing the parody of. So he called me one day out of the clear blue sky, and he says, I got this great idea for Jeopardy. I lost on Jeopardy. Wow, why didn't I think of that? Anyway, I said, yeah, do it. And it was beautiful because I had the Jeopardy came out in the spring and was a big hit all summer long. And then as winter began to settle over the land, along comes Weird Al, and he's got his version of I Lost on Jeopardy. So it was a hit all over again.
Wow.
And I got a whole bunch of mailbox money from Weird Al. God bless the guy.
Nice.
You know, that song was on a platinum album,
wow.
Weird Al's Greatest Hits.
Uh-huh.
And I tell you, to this day, I still get mailbox money from Weird Al. So God bless that man.
That's totally cool. The breakup song is a song you've come to be known for. Could you suggest another song from your catalog that you'd rather be known for?
Oh, that's a toughie. Yeah, you know, there's a couple. I always liked Reunited, and that was what happened with Reunited was right at the end of our Warner Brothers deal. We were berserkly being distributed by Warner Brothers, and we had just had a big hit with a breakup song. And we were looking forward to the next single, which was going to be Reunited. And we spent a fortune making a parody of the Wizard of Oz TV video for MTV. And it turns out that we signed with another label. And that, you know, that was one of those songs that kind of sunk into the West and was never heard from again. But it was always one of my favorites, and I still do it in concert.
So Reunited would be a rescue.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I look back now. I mean, I love the new album and the material that's on there, and any one of those songs I would put up against the old stuff.
Yeah, I think it's your strongest showing since Next of Kin. I really love that album myself, without being patronizing here, but... It
hey,
is a really
you know
good album.
What? I totally agree with you, and I really like Remember. It was one of my favorite cuts.
It's mine and all time.
Yeah, and you know, I still do that one in concert from time to time.
Are you doing it on Sunday?
No, probably not. My time is short on Sunday, so I got to get to the hits and, you know, hit them all. Because if you go out there and you don't do breakup song and you don't do Jeopardy and you don't do all that kind of stuff, it's frowned upon. So, and I also like to at least shoehorn one to two new numbers off the new album. So usually I've been doing The Life I Got, which really sounds great live. And we also do Pink Flamingos.
That's a fun song.
That sounds pretty good. Yeah, that's a fun one.
Fun video, too.
Yeah, you know that. You know, I got to tell you, making that last album was a labor of love because I wasn't really working. You know, I'm blessed to have a great bass player with Robert Barry in the band, and he's a great producer, and he's got his own studio down in Campbell, California, which is only a hop, skip, and a jump from here. So I go down there about once a week. And we just kick around song ideas. And if we kick one around enough, it sounds pretty good. We bring in the drummer and my son, Rye Kinn on lead guitar. And, you know, by 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we got a song.
Excellent. All righty. Hey, witness your live shows. You play some cover songs like, you know, Sheila by Tommy Rowe or Mystic Eye by them or For Your Love by the Yardbirds. And I just question here, have you ever considered doing a covers album?
You know, I love doing covers. And when we first started, we were playing, we were a bar band at a place called the Long Branch Saloon in Berkeley, California. And we used to do all covers. I mean, I remember that we were very big on the early Who. So we used to do like Kids Are All Right, Happy Jack, Call Me Lightning, My Generation. There's a lot of great songs that we used to do with the Who. Pictures of Lily was a biggie. I've also loved, you know, for my whole life, I've loved Led Zeppelin. So, you know, I could do that in a heartbeat. I could do that. I guess if I ever ran out of ideas, which is not the case right now, because I'm bursting with new ideas.
Oh yeah.
But if I ever did run out of them for, you know, one summer, I would love to do an album of covers. Man, there's a bunch. I could think of a half a dozen covers right off the bat that I would love to do.
Oh yeah.
You know, we've done a couple of Yardbirds covers, but lately in the show we've been doing Ain't Got You, which, you know, the original one with Eric Clapton, and that just kicks butt.
That's not a song you hear very often either. It's kind of more obscure.
Yeah,
and that's what's cool about it.
It's got a great groove, and it's got a great guitar solo. Rye really rips on that one.
So you've been touring off and on since the late 70s. Now here in the 2010s, are you noticing a lot of gray-haired people in your audience, or are you seeing some young new faces? I mean, have the younger generation...
A lot of receding hairlines and a lot of gray hair.
But have the younger generation caught on to you yet?
Yeah, they have. As a matter of fact, a lot of the people that come are bringing their kids.
Excellent.
So I get a lot of, you know, 18 to 25-year-olds.
Second-generation fans.
That really dig the band, you know, because they've heard of the band maybe from their parents or maybe from listening to an 80s station or something. And they're really very receptive. And I really love doing the new material for the kids because, you know, it's a whole new generation that's discovering the Greg Kinn band. And, you know, I didn't go on tour because I was on the radio. I was doing the morning radio show on K-Fox Radio in San Francisco, which is a big market. So, you know, it's an all-encompassing gig. So for 18 years, I did the morning show. And, you know, I couldn't tour. I hardly, maybe half a dozen gigs a year. And I just kind of let that thing go. And I think a lot of people just forgot about us. Now that I've been footloose and fancy free and we've been doing this tour, we got some more dates coming up. It's just been a blast. I've been having so much fun. And it's great to be back on the road again. You know, it used to be a hassle and I used to hate it. I used to hate airports and I used to hate hotel rooms. Now it just doesn't bother me. In fact, it's kind of fun. It's like summer camp.
Excellent. Hey, so listening to your new album, it sounds as though most of these songs are autobiographical. Can you share a story that inspired you to write one or two of those songs, maybe?
Oh, yeah. And then you're right about the autobiographical thing. And, you know, you don't want to tell everybody it's autobiographical, but it just turns out like that, you know? Let's see. Pink Flamingos. I love Big Pink Flamingos. In fact, that's my favorite of the new material to do on stage. And on my way between my house and the studio, I go past a trailer park. You know, a good old-time trailer park. California trailer park, man. And every once in a while, just, you know, out of boredom, I'll just drive through the trailer park. And every time I go through, I see this chick. She's a trailer trash woman. You know, you have to visualize this chick. She's got like pink stretch pants and the hair's up in curlers, chewing gum, smoking a cigarette, you know, and she waved as I go by, you know, and I started fantasizing, thinking, well, you know, my trailer trash baby. And I wrote the whole song. When I got to the studio, Rye had already started playing the guitar riff of that was going to become Pink Flamingos. And after he started establishing the guitar riff, I just started singing it. Out of the clear blue sky, took my words and his guitar riff and put it together. And that was one of those songs that just wrote, it just wrote itself.
Sounds
it really
like
did. And I think it took maybe 3 hours total to get it on tape and get it finished.
Does that girl know you wrote a song about her?
I know. I'm pretty sure not.
She doesn't know?
I never actually spoke. I just waved as I went by.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So I do themes on my show, and this week's theme is songs from artists from San Francisco. And can you give me a couple songs that maybe would fit this theme? Help me with my playlist.
All right. You're looking for San Francisco bands?
San Francisco bands, because you are certainly a San Francisco band.
Well, that's a wonderful
topic. Or Baltimore, perhaps,
you know,
but San Francisco.
I'm a garage rock kind of guy.
Okay.
So, you know, I like the old stuff, man. I like, you know, Blue Cheer.
Oh, yeah.
Vincent Biscuit Eruptum. I was probably the only guy on my block, God, I was about 13 or 14 at the time, to buy that album in the store, Vincent Biscuit Eruptum, featuring Summertime Blues. What was it? Dickie Peterson was the bass player and the singer. And I saw those guys in Golden Gate Park, and they were just unbelievably horrible. I mean, they were so loud, it was painful. And do you remember those custom cabinets that all the guitar players used to use in the 60s? They were these big, they were padded, these big, you know, they were as tall as you are, but they were called custom cabinets, and they had padding all around it, usually orange or gray. And I remember seeing that. It was just so loud and so, you know, so garagey. You know, it was like if your little brother had a band, it would sound like that, you know? But I loved it. I mean, there's something about it that just, it just, you know, it just sent me on my way. But, you know, I loved the early, like, for instance, early Steve Miller. I'm a good, you know, Steve is a friend of mine. But I remember buying Children of the Future when it came out. My God, what year was that? 1921 or something? It was back in the Paleozoic, the early Paleozoic era.
Yeah.
Let's see, what other ones? Of course, you can't do that without putting in some Santana.
I like Santana, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of really weird San Francisco bands that you would have to include.
Flamin' Groovies,
yes, absolutely, doing Shake Some Action.
There you go.
With Cyril Davis. You know, Cyril, I saw those guys a bunch of times. In fact, a couple of times they opened for us at the Keystone Berkeley. And, you know, they were big in France, of all places. And I remember their live version of Shake Some Action. It was a big set closer. And it blew my mind. Yeah, I love that.
And Pearl Harbor and the Explosions?
What was that?
Pearl Harbor and the Explosions?
I loved Pearl. They used to open for us all the time at the Keystone.
Yeah.
And I loved Pearl. And she was a cute little cutie pie. And did you know that she moved to England and married Paul Simeon of The Clash?
I had no idea. But
yes.
She started out being a dancer for the Tubes, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And she was in Lila and the Snakes. But yeah, Pearl Harbor, what was their song? Shut Up and Dance. Great song. I love that. And that's a great idea. Yeah, you definitely put that in.
Okay. All righty. Well, then, so in closing, I got to tell you. All right.
Hey, this is fun, man. I love this kind of stuff.
Yeah, fun interview, I must say. So in closing, you'll be at the Ava Amphitheater August 19th, along with Rick Springfield, Loverboy, and Tommy Two Tone. What time should I arrive at the Ava to catch your performance?
You should get there really early. The first band on is Tommy Two Tone. And, of course, by the time he does 8675309, by the end of the set, you know that the time is nigh, and I go on second, and then Loverboy, and then Rick.
So you're
and
the
I
second
gotta tell
act.
You, all of the guys on this tour are very nice. The hangability factor, when you're all on the road, you see each other breakfast, lunch, and dinner, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, hanging with these guys is a pleasure. And I've known Mike Reno for decades. I did tours back in the day, back in the 80s. I did at least three tours with Rick Springfield, so we're old friends. And, of course, Tommy Two Tone, he's been a Bay Area guy forever. So, you know, it's a really nice show. I would say people coming to the show definitely will get their money's worth. This is a good one.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Okay, then. Well, I look forward to seeing you on Sunday, August 19th. And thank you for visiting my show this morning. This is Roger Dodger.
Well, it's been a search and rescue.
It's
been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Loved it, man.
Well, thank you so much.
Hey, my pleasure, and thanks for having me.